And we're actually going to make some progress out of the warning passage this evening. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 16 this evening. Once again, please attend carefully. This is the Word of God. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Thus the word of God. Well, once again, we begin with the children this evening. Children, imagine that dad or mom gave you a job that seemed way too big for you, like doing all of the gardening. And then what if dad said that you can't go out and play or do any of those sports that you want to do unless you finish the whole job of gardening? Well, that puts a lot of pressure on you, especially when you don't really know how to use the lawnmower or how much to trim off of the shrubs and you don't know how to use the trimmer and all of that. But then, what if dad said that the best gardener there is was willing to help you with the whole job and show you everything you need to know to get it done? You only need to ask for his help. That would be such an encouragement and a relief. It would take the pressure off. It would make the whole job seem much easier. Well, God gives us a job that is really too big for us. That job is to keep on believing in Jesus when things get hard so that we'll get to heaven. But God tells us that we have the greatest helper there can ever be, and that's our Savior Jesus. If we just ask him, he will give us all the help we need to finish the job of believing in him and living for him until he takes us to heaven. And children, this is one more reason, out of all the many reasons you've heard, this is one more reason for you to trust in Jesus Christ. He is the one who is our helper. In fact, the one who does more than just help. He's the one who makes certain that we keep believing in him, even when things get difficult. Congregation, after receiving news of something that makes us apprehensive, it is always reassuring to receive encouraging news afterward. Imagine, as we ask the kids to imagine something, now I'm going to ask you to imagine, adults, you can pretend. Pretend that you must begin a particularly difficult project or training program at work, and your continued employment depends upon your successful completion of it. That brings on the stress and might even tempt you to anxiety. But how refreshing, reassuring, and encouraging it is when you find that your employer will also give you free access to the help of the most experienced and expert person in the entire company. Similarly, we have just completed our examination of a passage that has exhorted you many times, Christian, to persevere in the faith, which is a difficult project in a world that tries to turn us away from the faith. We found that our entrance into God's eternal rest in glory depends upon it. Now, we've drawn a few encouragements along the way, but wouldn't it be of so much greater reassurance and encouragement to find that God has given us free access to the one who is able to give us all the help we need to bring us through to glory, particularly because of his high priestly intercession on our behalf? Brothers and sisters, that's the passage that we have before us. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, one of the most well-known and well-beloved passages in the book of Hebrews, is a transition passage. It shows us that after all the warnings against apostasy and exhortations to persevere in the faith, Jesus Christ is the one who brings us through to glory by His help, through His intercession as our risen, ascended Savior. It also shows us that Christ's intercession is possible because He is our great High Priest. And that will lead us into the next section of Hebrews. While it is a transition passage, it is the comfort, assurance, and encouragement that we sinners with the hope of heaven need. Jesus Christ, our High Priest, provides the help we need by being the ascended intercessor, the fitting intercessor, and the effectual helper. And those will be our 3 points this evening. So first then, Jesus Christ, the ascended intercessor. Jesus Christ is ascended to the place of intercession. That's the first thing that we want to see here. Ascended to the place of intercession. Now notice in verse 14 that it says, Jesus, the Son of God, has passed through the heavens. Has passed is in the perfect tense in Greek, which means that it reflects the present and abiding results of a past act. In other words, Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven is a finished fact, and the present result that abides is that He is seated at the right hand of God. As the risen ascended mediator who is truly God and truly man, He has been exalted to the place of power, authority, and rule, but also to the place of intercession. That's what it means for Him to be at the right hand of God. Christ and Christ alone has the right and the responsibility to intercede for His people whom He redeemed and now calls to Himself by the work of His Spirit. The fact that He has passed through the heavens indicates that He cannot be dethroned. So the intercession that He makes for His people cannot be interrupted, halted, or undermined. Now we're going to hear later in this letter to the Hebrews, hence also He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He is in the place of intercession, not only at the right hand of God, but He's in the place of intercession as the risen, ascended mediator who alone has the right and the ability to intercede for His people. So through His intercession, He is able to bring His people through this life to enter into God's Sabbath rest in glory. So if we are to persevere in the faith, hold fast the confession of our faith, and enter into God's rest, we must rely upon Christ and avail ourselves of His intercession. But what is also important here is that Jesus Christ is our great High Priest. So Jesus, the Son of God, is not only the ascended to the place of intercession, He is the high priestly intercessor. Now the idea of Christ as our High Priest is not newly introduced here. At the end of chapter 2, we were told that He had to be made like His brethren in all things, in other words, truly human, that He might become a merciful and faithful High Priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In chapter 3, verse 1, we are told to consider Him who is the apostle and High Priest of our confession. And then we're shown that in the matter of apostleship as commissioned representation of God, He is greater than Moses by so much as the Son is greater than the servant. Now from chapters 5 through chapter 10, which are coming up, of course, we will be shown that He is greater than Aaron as a high priest. The extensive warning section that we have been through is a sort of parenthesis. Now, it follows the theme that Christ is better, giving a better rest because He is greater than Joshua and so on. But that whole big warning section that we've spent the last several messages on is something of a parenthesis. Now, chapter 4, verse 14 returns us to the matter of Christ, the High Priest of our confession, exhorting us once again to hold fast our confession because He is greater. And thus, it provides us with the transition into the next section of Hebrews. But the exhortation to hold fast our confession because He is our great high priest brings through that warning section the reminder of what the writer already showed us back in chapters 2 and 3 about His high priesthood as the foundation upon which our perseverance in the faith is built. And adds to it that Jesus Christ is not only the high priest who made propitiation for us on earth, but He's also the high priest who is now ascended to the right hand of God in heaven. And thus, even as He offered Himself up as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God as our high priest during His earthly ministry, He now continually intercedes for us, His people, as the ascended high priest. How then can we fail to persevere in the faith? Why would we possibly want to turn away from Him in unbelief and its resulting rebellious disobedience to return to anything else? You see the encouragements that are here in this. For anything else is ineffective and unable to bring us to enter into God's rest. Now, in addition to all of this, Jesus Christ is our high priest who has ascended into heavenly glory. One more thing that assures us that we who belong to Him will persevere and enter into God's rest in eternal glory is that Jesus Christ is our forerunner in the ascension, just as He is the forerunner in our resurrection from the dead. In the same way that, as we say, because He lives, we shall live also, we can also say that because Jesus Christ has ascended into heavenly glory, we shall ascend into God's eternal Sabbath rest into heavenly glory also. Because of His faithful accomplishment of His high priestly work on earth in His estate of humiliation, He was rewarded with exaltation unto glory in His resurrection from the dead and His ascension into heaven, to take up His rightful place of power and glory at God's right hand. This is reflected in Philippians 2, 8 through 9. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the work He did in His humiliation. Then it says, Therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. That is His exaltation in His resurrection and His ascension. Following this then, Philippians 3, 20 and 21 tells us, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. 2 Corinthians 5 teaches that at death our souls pass immediately into glory when we are made to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 John 3, and elsewhere in the Scriptures teach that on the final day, we shall be raised from the dead and taken into God's eternal glorious rest, body and soul. How much more encouraging can it be in the midst of the struggles in this life to persevere and hold fast the confession of our faith than to have Christ's high priestly intercession on our behalf and to know that we have it? Jesus Christ is our high priestly intercessor whose intercession is gospel intercession. Grounded upon His gospel work of sacrificing Himself to satisfy God's wrath and justice in payment for our sins, He has done all that it takes to bring us through to glory and God's eternal Sabbath rest. His intercession makes sure that we are able to persevere until then. Now, in our third point today, we're going to see how, but for now, for our second point, we can also rest assured because He is Jesus Christ, the fitting intercessor. Now again, in the face of the strenuous task of persevering in the faith, amid all of the temptations to throw it aside, it could not be more encouraging to know that the one who makes effectual intercession for us is actually able to do it. And first, because he is the sympathetic high priest. He is able to see us through to glory because he is the sympathetic high priest. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are. In keeping with verse 14's conspicuous use of the name Jesus, verse 15, and I hope you realize that when we say Jesus Christ, among the many things that that means, it means that we are emphasizing humanity of the mediator and the deity of the mediator. Jesus, the humanity, Christ, the deity. Conspicuously, verse 14 uses the name Jesus, emphasizing, in this case, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 15 brings out another of the significant implications of the humanity of the Savior. Because he is fully, truly human, he is able to sympathize with his people in our temptations and troubles. He could not have been the Savior at all if he had not been truly human to be a true substitute for men in the satisfaction of our penalty and the provision of righteousness for us. But here the writer speaks of Jesus' intercession for us and what would drive him personally, not just legally, but would drive Jesus personally to want to intercede fervently, faithfully, effectually for us. Namely, his sympathy for those whose human condition he can understand. You see, as man, he has experienced the human condition with all of the human weaknesses and infirmities. As a result, though our Savior is also truly God, there is a man at the right hand of God who is on your side to take your part, to see you through. Because his experience of all of the kinds of troubles, trials, persecutions, and so on far outweighs the intensity of anything you encounter in life. He knows what it takes to bring you through to glory safely. How does he know that? Well, look at his example, brothers and sisters. He came through the worst trial in all of eternity without the loss of his trust in God. He can bring you through any trial without your loss of trust in God. He also knows what it takes to comfort, challenge, console, convict, correct, encourage, and help you. Furthermore, he knows of the temptations you face, including those that try to turn us from our faith in him. And every other temptation you face, he underwent them all. Most especially and vehemently during the time of his suffering on the cross, when Satan and all the forces of hell came against him to tempt him to turn from God in rage and thus fail in the work of redemption. Satan tempting him to curse God and die, as it were. And yet he did not. You see, no matter what suffering you face, from persecution or any other source, or what temptation you meet, Jesus has been through worse and came through it. So he can help you and get you through it. But though he was tempted, he was and he remains the sinless high priest. Had our Lord committed sin when he was tempted, we certainly would have no salvation because it required an offering for sin that was unblemished in order that he would have no penalty of his own to pay. But again, more specifically, the issue here is connected to his intercession for us to help us persevere in the faith. As our high priest and advocate, if he had sinned and turned against God when he was tempted during his suffering, how could he possibly help us to keep from turning against God and abandoning the faith when we suffer and are tempted on account of it? And still, the matter of his ability to intercede for us is at stake too. If he were not sinless, he could not be the high priestly Savior who satisfied for our sins by offering himself up as an unblemished sacrifice to the just wrath of God to reconcile us to God, thus qualifying Jesus to make intercession for us. If he were not sinless, he could not cover us with his righteousness to give us access to God so that even as sinners we might stand justified, faultless and guiltless before his throne, children who receive a hearing because of our sinless high priest, Jesus Christ, the sympathetic and sinless high priest, who is a fitting intercessor indeed. Now that brings us to the implication in our third point of Christ being our ascended and fitting intercessor, and that is Jesus Christ, the effectual helper. As the intercessor who opens the way for us to come to his throne of grace, he provides two things that we need to persevere in the faith. One, mercy upon us in forgiving our sins all along the way throughout our lifetimes. And two, grace to help in time of need. That is, in time of temptation, persecution, difficulty, affliction, or any other trial. Because Jesus Christ is our high priestly intercessor at the right hand of God, we have the forgiveness of our sins that we still commit, even though being new creatures in Christ, it is our desire to obey the God we love by keeping his commandments. But brothers and sisters, you and I both know that you ain't perfect. And neither am I. We sin daily in thought, word, and deed. Scripture says we drink iniquity like water. The sins are gone over our head. We need his continual intercession, which is an application of his atonement to us every second of every day. That's what he's doing there, among other things. Through Christ's intercession, we not only have access to his divine throne of grace, we have constant, ongoing forgiveness. Christ's intercession includes his pleading the merits of his atonement as the result of his high priestly work before God's throne. This ensures God's forgiving grace is poured out upon us all through our journey, through the cursed wilderness of this life, until we do reach final glory in God's rest. Without Jesus' intercession in that regard, we would have no hope. We would be just as condemned as those who openly reject God and apostatize from their profession of faith in Christ, against whom we have been so solemnly warned throughout this large passage. But instead, we can come to him and confess our sins with a repentant heart, with God's promise that if we do, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we do, we can be all the more assured that we have saving faith in Jesus Christ, and that we are holding fast the confession of our faith, persevering to the end to enter God's rest. Furthermore, at the throne of grace, we can find the grace we need to help us in time of need, any time of need. Christ our intercessor is also Christ our helper, who is our great high priest, is able to come to the aid of all of us when we are tempted. He helps us even by His intercession, giving us access in prayer, that we might be strengthened by God's Spirit, by all of the ways that God's Word responds to our prayers, and by God's answers to our prayers in His providence. All of that comes through the intercession of Christ. He helps us by preserving us in the faith that we may persevere. F.F. Bruce summarizes this, quote, "The presence of the Christian's high priest on the heavenly throne of grace bespeaks a work of propitiation completed not in token but in fact, and the constant availability of divine aid in all their need. Thanks to Him, the throne of God is a mercy seat to which they have free access and from which they may receive all the grace and power required for timely help in the hour of trial and crisis." End quote. Now, what is the upshot for us? We are exhorted, therefore, to draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. So, Christian, come to God through Christ and in the Spirit, seeking His face continually on the basis of Christ's intercession. Be constant, consistent, and persistent in prayer. Find your forgiveness in Christ freely, constantly. Find your help from the throne of grace, where all the power of God is available to keep you in the faith, to help you endure temptation, to help you obey the commandments of God you love as evidence of your faith, to help you remain faithful to Him without betrayal. To equip you for what lies ahead of you each day, draw near to God in devotion as you listen to His voice speaking in His Word. You listen to His voice by reading His Word and hiding it in your heart that you might not sin against Him. But it doesn't stop there. This tells you, Christian, not only to draw near, but to draw near with confidence. There is to be no halting, shrinking back, staying away, or avoiding the audience and intimate communion that every Christian is to have with God. Can't you see, after all of this, Christian, how sure and certain your access to God is? The forgiveness of your sins is. The constant help that you need is. The preservation of your faith is. And your entrance into God's rest is. That is because Christ is your great high priest and intercessor. Jesus Christ, our high priest and help, is the ascended intercessor, the fitting intercessor, and the effectual helper. And we'll close today with a slightly longer quote from A.W. Pink. Quote, "The Lord Jesus is filled with tender compassion and the most profound, lively, and comprehensive sympathy. This belongs to the perfection of His high priesthood. For this very purpose He was tempted. He suffered. Our infirmities, it is true, are ultimately connected with our sinfulness. The weakness of our flesh is never free from a sinful concurrence of the will. And the Savior knows from His experience on earth how ignorant, poor, weak, sinful, and corrupt His disciples are. He loved them. He loved them, watched over them with unwearied patience, prayed for them that their faith fail not, and reminded them that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He remembers also His own sinless weakness. He knows what constant thought, meditation, and prayer are needed to overcome Satan and to be faithful to God. He knows what it is for the soul to be sorrowful and overwhelmed, and what it is to be refreshed by the sunshine of divine favor and to rejoice in the Spirit. We may come into Him expecting full, tender, deep sympathy and compassion. He is ever ready to strengthen and comfort, to heal and restore, He is prepared to receive the poor, wounded, sin-stained believer, to dry the tears of Peter, weeping bitterly, to say to Paul, oppressed with the thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for thee." End quote. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, your high priest, your help, your intercessor. Amen. Let's pray. O blessed God, thank you for opening the way to you through the veil of Christ's flesh. Convince us and move us by your Spirit every day to trust in Christ's intercession and draw near with confidence to your throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.